Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and glorify him at once. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You'll seek me, and just as I said to the Jews, so now I also say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Let's pray. Father, we just thank you so much for the truth of that song, because it is absolutely true. Not for one moment will you forsake us. Not for one moment will you leave us. Not for one moment will we call to you and find that you aren't there. Lord, you're there, always listening and guiding and loving and leading. And Lord, tonight we know you're here with us. We've gathered to hear from you. We've gathered that you might change us tonight, so that when we leave this room, we would leave here different from when we walked in, because we've met with you. And so, Lord, we just ask very simply that you would speak to our hearts tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I have a little beef with Jamie, because I feel like he always gives me the sermons that he doesn't want to preach, okay? I feel like he goes out of town coincidentally on the nights when, not so much. We're making our way through the Big Five, and if you've been at Hillview more than 10 minutes, you've heard of the Big Five. They're the teachings that come out of Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47 that are our faith practices. It's what the first church did, and it's what we try to do today. And so we've talked about worship, and we've talked about service, and we've talked about prayer, and there are two left. Now, I'm the Bible study guy at Hillview. I'm that guy, all right? You don't like something about Bible study? Call Jamie, and then he's going to come to me. I'm the guy. And so tonight, Jamie has told me to preach on fellowship. So, you know, whatever. And I've got something to say. The newer you are to the church, the more you'll know that I'm right. There are words, there are words that we church people use that nobody knows what they mean. Amen? Amen? I mean, like, again, except for Linda. The newer you are to the church, the more you know that's true, right? For example, tonight we had the Lord's Supper, or some of you may have called it communion. If you came from the Roman Catholic Church, we celebrated the Eucharist. And regular people don't know what any of those things mean. Jesus serves dinner? I thought you had to stop by McDonald's on your way in. I didn't know that, right? There are terms that we use, and one of those terms is fellowship. When in your life, unless you're weird, do you ever use the term fellowship outside of a church context? I don't ever remember being in high school and having my buddy say, "Hey, we've got a keg of lemonade that we're going to put in a field, and we want you to come fellowship with us." Right? That never happened. They called it a party. In college, I never invited a young lady to go with me to a local restaurant to have fellowship time, because she wouldn't go. She didn't know what that meant. We as Christians, we use that word all the time. When I grew up in church, we had a special room devoted to it. We have one here. It's called the Fellowship Hall. In my church growing up, in the fellowship hall, the grown-ups drank coffee and the kids had cookies and juice after the service. And it wasn't real juice, it was Kool-Aid. That's what happened in the fellowship hall. And then occasionally we ate in there. And so a lifetime of being conditioned in church taught me that fellowship meant to eat with people you go to church with. And I got to 352 before I realized it didn't have to have food every time, all right? I heard a preacher one time define fellowship, and he said, you know, fellowship is really, it's two fellows in the same ship. Let you know how my mind works. I'm like, the first place my mind went to was the slave trade. I'm like, really? Those fellows were on the same ship, and they didn't much care for each other. Right? So we come up with stupid definitions to stupid words that nobody knows what they mean. Well, tonight we're going to talk about fellowship. And we're not on a boat, so calm down. But we're going to try to say, okay, what does God mean? And we're going to do it quickly. In the next 10 minutes, actually. So put on your seatbelts. Jamie does it to me every time, I'm telling you. All right. I just read to you Jesus' new commandment that he gave to the disciples just before he was headed to the cross. A new commandment I give to you. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you are to love one another. In fact, by this will all people know that you're my disciples. By the way you love one another. Not by your t-shirt, not by your bumper sticker, not by your ichthus fish, not by anything, not by your Bible cover, not by your Bible app, not by your Bible blog, not any of those things that we put out there to show the world that we're Christians, but we would be known by the way that we love each other. And when Jesus said love one another, in this instance, he was not talking about loving all people in the world. He wasn't. He was talking about loving Christians. Now, this is going to be hard for some of us in this room because for some of us in this room, it's easy to love the non-Christians. We know they're lost people and they do lost things, and so we can overlook it and say, God, please save them. But what's tough is when you look at somebody who's claiming Christ and they're just a jerk. It's hard to love those kind of people, right? Well, feel better because there are people who look at you and think it's hard to love that kind of person because you're a jerk sometimes too. Right? Jesus gave us this commandment and he said, this is how they'll know that you're mine, by the way that you love one another. Now, he gave us specific commands to love people in the world. The Bible tells us that God so loved all of us in the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But God also tells us as followers of Christ that there's a difference between those who were inside the kingdom of Christ and those who are outside the kingdom of Christ. In fact, Paul even writes, be careful in the way that you act toward outsiders. Let your conversation always be full of grace, seasoned with salt, that you may have an answer for everything they bring to you. So tonight we're not talking about loving the outsiders. We're talking about loving one another. I heard a preacher one time say, we as followers of Christ need to learn to one another, one another. It's easy to one another everybody else. We need to learn to one another, because by not one anothering one another, we're wrecking our witness to the world. They see us and they're like, they hate each other. Why do I want any part of that? They represent Jesus and they can't stand each other. They don't like each other. Why do I want any part of that? Well, in 1 John chapter 3, the Apostle John, writing as he's carried along by the Holy Spirit, says this, see what kind of love the Father has given to us that we should be called children of God. And so we are. If you have the New International Version, it says, how great is the love that the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. And we've talked several times in here about how there's a difference between children of God and children of the world. There's a difference in here and all over the globe between those who belong to God and those who don't belong to God. Those who have come to the Lord Jesus Christ and received him as their only Lord and Savior, they're the children of God. And those who haven't come to the Lord Jesus Christ and haven't received him as their only Lord and Savior, they're not the children of God. There will be a difference in heaven about between those who are the children of God and those who are not the children of God. Those who are the children of God will be there, and those who are not won't. There's a difference at the day of judgment between those who are the children of God and those who are not the children of God. Those who are the children of God who have received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they will be set on the right hand of Jesus, and he will say, come and enter your master's happiness. And those who are not the children of God, they will be to his left. They will be outside, where the Bible says, there are those dogs, the sexually immoral, the liars, the swindlers, the greedy, all those things. There is an objective distinction here. And even now, there's a difference between those who are the children of God and those who are not the children of God. Lost people do lost things. Saved people ought to do fewer lost things, don't you think? In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, this will blow you away. This will blow you away. I'm just going to go ahead and read it to you. So you believe I'm not making this up. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul says this in verse 9. I wrote to you in my letter not to associate with sexually immoral people. Watch what he says. Not at all, meaning the sexually immoral of this world or the greedy or swindlers or idolaters, since then you would need to go out of the world. You know what he says? He says, when you're with lost people, they're going to do lost things. Don't be surprised. Don't be surprised when lost people act lost. That's what they do. Now watch what he says. Verse 11. But now I'm writing to you not to associate with anyone who bears the name of brother. You know what that means? He says, don't associate with anyone who bears the name of brother, fellow Christian, follower of Jesus, anybody who claims the name of Christ, if he is guilty of sexual immorality or greed or is an idolater or a reviler or a drunkard or a swindler, not even to eat with such a one. Wow, that's a little less loving and cordial than you were expecting and just as much as I was expecting. What's Paul saying? Listen, if you're going to claim Christ, live Christ. If you're going to claim Christ, live Christ. That doesn't mean you're going to be perfect. But it also means that you don't run headlong into every sin you can find. And he said there's a difference. If you're going to say you're saved and then act lost, you're going to lose some of the benefit of being a part of the body of Christ. Y'all know that. Y'all have done that just like I have. You've claimed the name of Jesus on Sunday and you've acted like a total, what's the word my mother used to call me? Heathen. It's heathen, but in South Central Kentucky, it's heathen. Y'all have gone to church on Sunday and acted like a bunch of total heathens on Monday, haven't you? Paul's saying don't do that. Listen to what Paul says. For what have I to do with judging outsiders? Is it not those inside the church whom you are to judge? God judges the outside. Purge the evil person from among you. You know what he's saying? He's saying if somebody's going to claim Christ and then act like they don't have Christ, let them go. Let them live like they're lost so that they might see the error of their ways and come running back to Jesus. Don't go put a fur lining in their pig pit to make them feel better as they sin. Let them deal with the consequences of their sin. You know what God's let me do sometimes? He's let me deal with the consequences of my sin so that I would see my sin and run from my sin back to Jesus. How great is the love that the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it didn't know Him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who thus hopes in Him purifies himself, even as He is pure. I want to read to you this next section, beginning with verse 11, because this is the message that you've got to hear tonight. This is the message that the Lord has for us tonight. And so hear these words and heed these words. And we're fixing to go to the altar. It's 7:18. We're not going to belabor this point. Listen to the word of Christ. For this is the message that you've heard from the beginning. That we should love one another. We should not be like Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. Why did he murder him? Because his own deeds were evil and his brother's righteous. Do not be surprised, brothers, that the world hates you. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. God has called us to love one another. And church, We must love one another. It is a sad fact that even in 2013, the most segregated hour in the United States of America is Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. It's true. I can read all of our Facebook posts, and I can see that outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, there's a lot of things we disagree about. Amen? Y'all know because y'all read the Facebook posts too. You know that if we brought up certain hot topics in this room where we have all come together to worship the Lord Jesus Christ together, that there would be heated arguments in this room at church. You know that if we brought up certain situations that have gone on in the past 30 days in the United States of America, if we brought up certain politicians who have run for office in the United States of America, if we brought up certain bills that have been passed into law in the United States of America, and we gave everybody a microphone, there would likely be a huge argument in here. You know that. And yet you came anyway. Why did you come? Well, apparently it wasn't just to hear Jamie, because you would have left when I got up and did communion. Lindsay Scarborough and I were looking to see who stuck around, right? So thanks. That's awesome. But you didn't come to hear Jamie. You didn't come to hear me. Because you came because there's something greater than all of our differences. There's something greater than all of the things that divide us. There's something greater than all the things that would cause us to raise our voice at each other. And there's something greater than all the things that would cause us to hit the caps lock key on our keyboard. There's something greater. And you know it. And I know it. And so we come. That something greater is Jesus. And Jesus supersedes every one of our differences. Jesus rises above every one of our conflicts. Jesus rises above every one of our quarrels. And He tells us deep down in the core of who we are, there's something more. And it's Him. It's Him. This is a hard text tonight. And the reason it's a hard text is because it says that if you have hatred in your heart, if you have hatred in your heart, you don't belong to God. Pastor, are you sure it says that? Because that's tough. Whoever does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Christian, child of God, are you a murderer? Are you a murderer tonight? Do you hate your brother? I'm not talking about your family. Talking about your church family. We had some church members move in across the street. You got two little girls. My son adores them both. And he asked us, he said, are they in our family? And we said, well, no, they're in our church family. And he gave us the look, because that's yet another one of those terms that nobody knows what it means. Right? Well, they're in our church family. They're our brothers and sisters. Like, my sister's my sister? Well, not really, but... when we get to heaven, all these things that divide us are gone. And what holds us together, the Lord Jesus Christ, well, that'll be the only thing. You know there'll be no racism in heaven? None. How about that? There'll be no sexism in heaven? None. How about that? I'm sure there's languageism, you know. People think you're dumb if you talk like this. Well, there won't be any of that in heaven. There won't be any social status division in heaven. The ground is level at the foot of the cross. There won't be any who's richer, who's poorer in heaven. You'll be happy with what you got. There won't be any competition to see who can beat the Joneses or the Smiths or the Robertsons. You'll be content with what the Lord has given you. all that'll be gone. And you know what our job is? Our job is to bring heavenly reality into this earthly moment. You're looking at me weird right now. You know why? Because you know you have something petty you're holding on to. Yeah, you do. You do. You do. You know what it is right now. I'm not doing that. Jesus is. Don't get mad at me. Something petty you're holding on to right now. You know what God's calling you to do? Let it go. Doesn't belong in you. Doesn't belong in you. Somebody's done you wrong. Somebody's betrayed you. Somebody's hurt you. Somebody's forgotten about you. Somebody's not called you. Somebody's not poked you. Somebody's not on Facebook. Somebody's not been your friend. Somebody's not stood up beside you. Somebody's not done something, and you're mad at them right now. You know what God's saying? Let that go. Somebody didn't vote the way you voted. Somebody didn't talk the way you talked. Somebody didn't go the way you went. You know what God's calling you to do? Lay it down. That's not in you. It doesn't belong there anymore. Let it go. You're mine now. And mine don't act that way. Mine don't live that way. Mine get on with it because I got plans for their life. Plans to prosper them and not to harm them. Plans to give them hope and a future. Church, I'm done. But God's not. And so we're going to come to this altar. You got all kinds of time because I know Jamie always runs over. So we're even early right now. All right, you got all kinds of time. Listen to me. Listen, please listen. You've heard from God tonight. There's hatred in your heart over something stupid. I would ask you. You do what you want. But I would come to the altar and I'd talk to Jesus about it. I'd get rid of it. If you got hatred in your heart for a fellow follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, you get up here and you run, Lord Jesus, take it out. It doesn't belong there. I don't want it there anymore. Why? Jesus said the way the world would know who we were was by the way we loved one another. We've screwed that up big time. We better get on fixing it, don't you think? Will you stand up with me? Come on. Tonight, you also need to know if you've not received Jesus Christ, He's here for you. He's waiting for you. He's ready for you. You come on, He'll take you. If you've not been baptized, listen, the water is ready. We can do it right now. We can do it next week. You can have whoever you want who's a follower of Jesus to baptize you as long as they've been baptized. All right? And if you're a Christian, you claim the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and you're a murderer, get up here, please. Please get up here and talk to God about that. You don't have to talk to me about that. You don't have to talk about Shane about that. Talk to God about that. Get that out of there. It's not you. It doesn't belong in there anymore. A new command I give you. Love one another. Love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Lord Jesus, this is your command. It is not your suggestion. It is not your observation. It is not your words of wisdom. It is your command that we would love one another as you have loved us, and you overlook a whole lot in us. You died on the cross to pay the price for a whole lot in us. And Lord, let us love one another that way. If there's anybody in this room who needs to be saved, Lord, would they come? Lord, if there's anybody in this room who needs to be baptized, let them come and say, it's time. I'm tired of running away from it. I'm going to do it. Lord, if there's anybody in here that's holding on to death, may they let go of it. May we let go of it. In Jesus' name, this altar is open. Please come.